welcome again to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric T. Woodworth, and thank you so kindly for dropping in and spending a little bit of your time with us here. Some more stuff about Baby Eater in this episode, Jeremy's little pet project that I am the unknowing, unwilling star, executive producer, and also, I guess, co-directing with my brother, and I have no idea what's going on. So, a little bit of info on that, some more stories from Mexico and Joe Robinson's wedding. So a good show overall, guys, but if I could implore you to hop on the iTunes, the Stitcher, whatever you listen to us on, drop us a 5-star rating and review. We would really appreciate it. Costs you nothing. It means the absolute world to us. And without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for the continuation of Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
I got it now.
Do you feel very proud to be the star of Baby Eater?
I mean, have I put it on my list of accomplishments? Marriage, having my first child, the 2012 national championship in rugby. Baby Eater. That's where I put it. That's where it ranks. It's made the Mount Rushmore, Jeremy.
Now, I, of course, being not only me, but also my friend Edward being best actor slash best films of this year, I am not only, before I have started production on this film, not only am confident that it will be the film of the year, better than Avatar 2.
Okay.
Which,
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Because James Cameron, he is not a man of the people anymore.
Mm-mm.
But more than that is, I've already started working on my head on Baby Eater 2, The Madness of Baby Eater. And of course, Baby Eater 3, Baby Eater Goes to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And although they should be mixed, the fourth one's Baby Eater Goes to College. So
With
the Danny Elfman soundtrack.
I don't want to jump the shark here. I don't. But can we do just straight Baby Eater 2 in space? Can we go to space? Can we make the leap to space in the direct sequel?
If I completely fail on part 2, Baby Eater 3 will be in space. So, and you know, you got to pretend as if you're floating through most of this.
I was
trying to eat the babies. But they floating so hard, it's hard to eat them.
There's like the zero G thing where I'm like, this little piggy went to market and it like floats off like this
and
into the screen.
You see the little strings of holding up, barely
like,
floating on a string.
It's just really
so
bad. I think that would
How's
be good.
How's I supposed to make my special sauce for the babies if I'm in space? Space.
Oh, my spices, damn it. No! My spices are everywhere! Oh, no! That paprika doesn't belong in the launch pad! The paprika doesn't belong there. Well, welcome back to Quality Time, everybody. Yay.
Hello.
We've been here. We're baby eaten and super queer. My name is Eric P. Woodworth, joined by none other than my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about this guy who I don't know who's here.
I'll tell you who I am. I'm Sarah Connor, and I'm here to tell you about the end of the world in 1997. And you and your corporations and your pina coladas that you drink incessantly are going to cause the end of the world because you don't have children and you're going to kill everybody.
Dude, 1997 is come and gone. Oh, well, everything's fine. We're all good. Yeah.
Listen, my biggest thing about Judgment Day and the things that happened in this movie, it's very important. You know, August 8th, 1997 was supposed to be the date that Judgment Day happens.
So listen, 22 years into Judgment Day.
Thank God it didn't happen, because 1998, thank God, my first year of high school, we got Pokemon Red and Blue on the Game Boy. And that, people don't talk about the sacrifices that are made from this film more than anything. So,
and it's all because we banned Freon. So that's
exactly.
What saved the world. Changed everything.
Now, Jeremy, this movie, Terminator 2, I don't think I mentioned this in our first episode, but possibly in the past. Terminator 2 was the first rated R film that I saw in a movie theater. Did you know that?
Did you have to sneak in?
I did sneak in. And in fact, we were dropped off at the movie theater. My friend Sean Laskowitz and I bought a ticket to see what movie, Jeremy? We bought a ticket to
License
what movie?
License to Drive.
And then walked in to see Terminator 2 Judgment Day. What other big 1992 movie, which
92.
I'll give you, it doesn't have a direct tie.
How could it be 92? It's in T2?
T2 was in 1992.
Wow.
What movie did I buy a ticket to see this film?
Were you supposed to see that instead of Shanghai Surprise?
Nope. I'll give you a hint, and this is a hint. The movie I'm going to try to phrase this in a way where it doesn't give it away. It just makes it difficult enough, okay? Because I could phrase this question that you would get it instantly. But the movie I bought a ticket for, James Cameron made a remake of.
Remake.
Mm-hmm.
Titanic, the underwater version.
Mm-mm. Think about G-rated films that I would have had to buy a ticket for.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got it now, because that's such a horrible film that I hate and I love to trash it. It's otherwise known as Fern Gully.
Yes, I went to go see. I bought a ticket to Fern Gully, Jeremy, and I walked into Terminator 2.
You were 16 or 17 at the time?
No, I was under 10 years old. I was like 9 years old.
Wow.
Right here.
Well, that is money well spent, because I think that any 10-year-old should see Terminator 2. It's just got a little cussing in it.
It was fucking awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't regret any part of it. I loved it. I lived in a time where my parents could just drop me off at a movie theater, like, we'll come and get you in a couple hours. And
but the fact they believe you'd actually see Fern Gully, though, that's just bad parenting that they'd let you see Fern Gully. You know, maybe if they let you see like a good Ralph Bakshi film, like, you know, Wizards,
God, well,
or maybe Lord of the Rings.
Thank God my best friend's mom was so dumb. So good. Shout out Sean L. Shout out Sean L.
That's probably second only to me with Jared at age 13 seeing Aliens in the theater in Ocean City, Maryland.
But your parents took you to see that.
No, we went to see it alone.
Oh, no, not Aliens, but you saw Alien.
Alien
in the theaters.
And my parents actually took me to see the original Alien with Star Trek, the original motion picture, when I was probably like 8 or 9.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. That's exactly
Alien,
what I was
Alien
referencing.
For an 8 or 9 year old, that's pretty harsh. And that was pretty awesome and still memorable to this day. So, Anything, any kid that can handle a chest burster at age 8 or 9 is amazing movie right there.
You're right.
So,
well, should we just hop right back into the continuation?
Unless
of
you
this?
Got any stories to tell?
Do I have any stories to tell? I don't know.
Comedy stories?
Ever since I got back, I haven't done a lot of comedy stories. My phone is dead. Is there any good Joe Robinson tales from the road that I have? There probably are. I think I'm gonna save them for a future app because we got a lot to go through here in T2, and I just don't want to ruin it.
You did some good performances when you were down in Cancun.
I did
a lot of singing for people. So.
I did. I think I talked about the karaoke
though.
I did the song Four Chords, not for karaoke, but I did do some karaoke.
Are you mentioning any of your writing of the murder mystery Winter? Or is that too soon?
Well, I don't know if that's going to be accepted. I'll tell you what. Here's a story. Here's a fun story. When we were doing karaoke, I don't know if I shared this, and I apologize to our listeners if this was already on a previous episode, because I think I told this on Laugh Finder, but I don't think I told this here. I performed the song Yoda for karaoke while I was there. I showed up early. I signed up. There was some anticipation because I had sung earlier yesterday with the guy with the ukulele. And I go and perform. And there's an all-black wedding there that is... They fucking loved it. Like, I pretty much was invited to their wedding after I did this, right?
White wedding crasher.
So they one of the people from their group get to go up to sing karaoke, like, 2 songs later. And I don't remember the song that they picked, but the girl who grabbed the mic immediately went, "White people to the back." That was the first thing she said. I shit you not. She goes, "White people to the back." And so all the white people literally moved away from the front of the audience. They were very intimidated, and they moved back.
She was going to introduce her Black Lightning.
She starts singing this song and dropping F-bombs every other word. Just like, fuck this, fuck that, blah, blah, blah. They cut the song off, they cut her mic, and she fucking loses it. She's like, "What the fuck is this?" And the guy gets back on the mic. He's like, "Okay, karaoke is over." So karaoke night ended 2 songs after I went. Okay. Now, fun story, there's a nightclub on this all-inclusive resort that we're at. And apparently, a bunch of the wedding party that we were with went in there later in the night and walked into the nightclub and just saw all the people that got kicked out of karaoke. Like, and pulled like the Grandpa Simpson. Do you remember the Grandpa Simpson where he walks into the brothel, he hangs up his hat, and then sees that Bart's there and immediately walks out and grabs his that's literally what they did. They just walked in and walked out as soon as they saw him. It was fun. So that was a fun tale from Cancun. That was a nice little tidbit. Nice little story. Oh, you know, here's another fun story. I got really hammered constantly when I was down there. I met Joe Robinson's, both of his sons, and I'm sitting there with Joe Robinson's family, okay? No, like his, it's both of his sons and his sister, Lori, L-Dog. Shout-outs, L-Dog.
Lori!
And we're all sitting there shooting the shit. And something came up along the lines of, like, Katie's really pretty. I was just like, of course Katie's really pretty. I was just like, all you have to do is search these two little bastards' search history for stepmom porn, and you can tell how pretty she is. And they, first of all, the whole Robinson family loses it. They're like, both sons die laughing. They're hitched over, embarrassed, and L-Dog is fucking cracking up. It was a good joke I had there. So shout outs Katie Robinson for just being hot.
Who would have figured that, you know, when it comes to being a real prostitute whore, I really prefer that prostitute to act exactly like my mom when she performs sex acts.
Hell yeah.
You know, what are you doing? Well, I can help you masturbate better.
Shut up, slap me and tell me to clean my room.
And then I can't get it up. I don't know why, so... That's R.I.P. why I prefer the sister porn.
Sister porn is, yeah, stepsister porn, much better. I like a good cleaner version like that. Yeah, you got anything, Jer? What do you got?
That's it. I talked about porn, that's all.
All right, so I guess we're going to hop right back in to Terminator 2 Judgment Day, which also gave birth to my favorite Super Nintendo game, Clay Fighter 2 Judgment Clay. Dude, if you didn't fuck with Judgment Clay, I didn't fuck with you, okay?
Well, I personally boycotted that that game because I think he should be allowed to be called Muhammad Ali. They shouldn't be, you know, holding him to his old name of, you know, modeling clay, Cassius Clay. So
where we left off, basically, John and the Terminator are going off to rescue Sarah Connor back at the psych ward. But the T-1000 is already there as we see him pull up first. We see a brief scene where Sarah gets sexually assaulted by a creepy orderly. Basically, this orderly straps her down and then licks her face. And then in the most incel of incel things, when she's not immediately turned on by this, he's like, oh, you whore. And then just, and just leaves. Pretty creepy moment in the film.
I kind of think about being molested by all three disorderlies, otherwise known as the Fat Boys.
Yeah. Think of how much more fun this movie would be. Listen, if the director of Terminator 3 did this movie, the disorderlies would have been in it, you know?
You know, the two of them lick you, where the third just gets in your face and does some beatbox. So,
hey, who's that? Hey, you Sarah Connor? Hey, man, I believe you when you're talking about them robots. I seen it. In fact, I know so much about it, I wrote it. Me and my buddies wrote a song. Hey, yo, it's me. It's me and me. And we're talking about T2E. Talking about this, and we're going all the way. Oh, shit. It's Judgment Day.
Wasn't it after Nightmare on Elm Street 4 that the Fat Boys were allowed to do a song for every big budget movie?
Yeah, they were. Don't the Fat Boys have a Nightmare on Elm Street song? Don't they?
Of course.
It's not the Will Smith song is the best rap Freddy song, which is Nightmare on My Street. But the Fat Boys have one as well.
I must say that when I talked to Robert Englund and mentioned the Freddy Krueger song by SOD, mm-hmm. he was definitely more proud of the Fat Boys song where he actually gets to rap. So
it's strong. It's a strong entry in the discography of Englund.
If I could put words into his mouth, I think he was very proud of how black he was, you know, rapping with the Flat Boys, yes.
Freddie is so woke that he actually burned himself to be black. You know what I mean? I don't see any other white people that are woke doing that. That's not a thing.
There is nothing more creepier than people that have burnt all their skin off their head and they look like weird, creepy night people now. So like the Slender Man or something.
I like it when you look like Sideshow Bob and you go, Black Lives Matter! It's always a highlight of my life.
Oh, gosh.
So the T-1000 is there. She's sexually assaulted and immediately starts picking her locks with the little fucking paperclip that she had grabbed earlier.
I am the paperclip.
Which, if you watch her unlocking herself, it makes no sense. It's like her restraints reach to this little buckle that she can unbuckle. But she immediately can reach, like, for some reason, this buckle that's over her is the only thing that's stopping her from her reaching her teeth to undo her other restraint. That wasn't restricting her from doing that at all. It makes no sense, but whatever, you know.
Good job, James Cameron. Mm. Why don't you make a movie called Avatar now?
So the T-1000 gets inside and hides as part of the floor and emerges like the fucking TLC Waterfalls video. Like, he just fucking comes up as part of the floor, and there's a gentleman getting coffee, one of the guards, and he takes his shape, and when they turn around, that guard is looking at himself, which is a pretty interesting scene because those guys are actually twin identical brothers in real life, Jeremy.
Hey! This coffee cup I won. I'm a winner. I hope I don't get killed by an evil Terminator robot now.
But it's pretty cool. He comes over and basically holds his finger up, and then all of a sudden, like, the guy looks at him, and then the finger juts out and makes a knife and stabs him through the eye. Pretty badass kill scene, I would say.
And I like the fake head that moves as if he's being killed with the finger in there, like, as well.
It's almost like you didn't need these people to be twins at all. That was literally done for one shot.
Am I wrong? Didn't they also play twins in the Erie, Indiana episode? Or they've been twins in some creepy, funny show where they were also twins. I can't
remember.
Listen,
when you're a twin, you're a twin for life, okay? That's it.
I know I've seen them in something else. I can't remember where.
So, Sarah is now loose and beats the piss out of the creeper who licked her, and gets his keys in the nightstick and makes her way through the hospital.
By the way, I heard this was inspiration for the film Sarah, Thou Art Loosed.
Yes. So Sarah then makes her way to Dr. Silverman, pummels a guard on the way to him with the nightstick, and then fucks up Silverman.
You broke my arm.
There are 215 bones in the human body. That's one. Now don't move.
She takes up a big thing of drain cleaner and then puts a syringe into it and fills up the syringe with the drain cleaner, which she's going to use as her weapon against Silverman.
Can we name another movie where somebody's killed by drain cleaner?
No, nothing comes to mind.
That'd be Magnum Force, where the pimp kills his whore by making her drink drain cleaner in the back of a taxi cab.
Oh, that's a pretty cool way to die.
It's really weird that he was carrying drain cleaner to begin with. Mm-hmm. This kind of seems like maybe a first degree murder there, not just a manslaughter.
Man, I'm a plumber. When my whore's pipes get dirty, I'll clean them out.
Oh gosh, coffee.
So John and the Terminator then pull up to the scene, and they go to try to schmooze their way in by talking to the guard, but Arnold ultimately takes his gun out and shoots him in the kneecap, saying he'll live. So he's abiding by the code not to kill anybody. They get in. Sarah gets past the next door by holding Silverman hostage. She has, like, the syringe of fucking drain cleaner jabbed into his neck. They let her through. But ultimately, an orderly who's hidden around the corner grabs the syringe as she starts to run her way through the hospital, being chased by the rest of the orderlies. She then, all of a sudden, comes face to face with a familiar face. And it's none other than the Terminator himself, who she's clearly terrified of, right? Like, the Terminator walks after her, but she's grabbed up by the orderlies as she's trying to run away. Arnold comes over, makes short work of them, beats the shit out of them. Her son comes over and says that he's a friend, and then Arnold lays down this fucking line right here.
Come with me if you want to live.
It's okay, Mom. He's here to help. It's okay.
And so, what is the first thing that Reese says to Sarah when he meets her?
Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah.
Because he's programmed by Kyle Reese, a.k.a. John's dad, a.k.a. fucking Michael Bane, a.k.a. the coolest dude I've met so far.
And I remember, after looking at that photo all those days, that I really wanted to fuck John Connor's mom.
Yeah.
Man, wouldn't it be ironic if I actually was John Connor's dad? But I didn't know, even though I fucked her in the past, and then she never had sex with me. And we don't know for sure, but I think I'm John Connor's dad.
Hell yeah.
Bump, bump, we lived bump, a lifetime.
Bump, bump, bump.
That's when Alanis Morissette walks in. Isn't it ironic? So,
don't you think? So,
hey, wait a second. If I send you back to the past, are you going to fuck my mom?
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck your mom. I mean, that's why you're sending me back, right? I mean, I'm looking at her picture. I'm jacking off for weeks on end. Come on.
Hey, John, can I borrow that picture of your mom again?
The one with the dog.
Kyle,
in the picture.
I'm a little bit alarmed by the fact that you keep asking for this picture of my mom. What are you doing? He's like, can I borrow it? Can I borrow it for 15 minutes? I'll get it right back to you.
I'm memorizing her face.
Excuse me, Corporal Kyle, could you come into my office real quick? Thank you. Close the door. Listen, I need to talk about the condition that my photograph of my mother came back in. And he pulls it up, and it looks like basically, you know when you like leave a bowl of like Cinnamon Toast Crunch after you've eaten it out? It's just like this glaze of just like fucking crust on there. He's like, what is this? He's like, nothing at all. I knew you were going to say that. I actually had one of our reprogrammed Terminators look at it, and have you been jizzing in my mom's picture? Have you been doing that? And he's like, I mean, I'm really embarrassed about this, John. I didn't want to say it, but I think your fucking dead mom is super fucking hot. And then he goes, you're just the man to save me. Right? Like,
oh my gosh, there's a Terminator. He sets fire to the picture while John's not looking. Like, oh, that was ironic. And worse than everything is, these tattoos that you're getting on your arm, Reese, the one that says mission goals, kill the Terminator, fuck John Connor's mom. That's a little obvious right there. So
come with me if you want to live. And, you know, Sarah is ecstatic to see her son again, but the reunion is short-lived as John and Sarah come face-to-face with the T-1000 as he walks through a this barred door, which is, honestly, I feel like this special effect in CGI holds up, no?
Absolutely. Can I also add that he has a tattoo that says fuck Abraham Lincoln's mom as well.
What?
I also want to be set to 1805.
Sarah.
So that I can fuck Abraham Lincoln's mom.
Sarah, I didn't want to say this, but you were just the lead up pussy. I wanted to fuck Abraham Lincoln's mom ever since I saw her sweet rocking tits in that hand-drawn photo of her from the 1800s.
Oh, gosh. Instead, I was burned as a witch because I had a lighter with me, so...
He frees the slaves, but I fucked his mom. Terminator 4, Time Cuck. That's... I like if it,
had to be, if it hadn't been for Reese, I wouldn't have been able to fight all those vampires in my day. So
it's not easy, but it's honest work.
All right, back to the movie.
So they make a run for the elevator as the T-1000 chases them. The doors close and a knife fucking juts through the fucking slit of the door, then transforms into like two giant pry bars that start to open it. As the door opens, though, Arnold meets him with a fucking shotgun blast that just like splits his fucking metally head in half. It looks pretty badass, right? Pretty good practical effects right there. Like, I like
Hells
how that
yeah.
looks. It's fucking, it's pretty cool. They then start heading down, but the T-1000 opens the door again, jumps down, and starts like stabbing through the top of the elevator. And Sarah actually gets sliced on the back during this. They, hop out into the garage area where Sarah then finds a police cruiser and a guy driving, and she fires a round through and says, "Get out of the car!" And never have I seen a police officer get bitched harder than this guy. Like, his face is like,
okay, we have to go to the important trivia that says that in the elevator scene, Linda Hamilton apparently, between takes, should have left her earplugs in and permanently damaged her hearing by firing the 9mm she had inside the elevator.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that definitely hurt.
So,
close quarters with guns, very bad unless you have hearing.
So they hop in the police cruiser, but the T-1000 is hot on their trail. They throw it into reverse, and the fucking chase is on. The T-1000 is like fucking, which is badass music. It's just like fucking running full speed as they're trying to like outrun him in reverse, and he's kind of gaining on them. They eventually turn the car around, And the T-1000 makes giant hooks and starts climbing his way onto the back of the fucking car. Sarah's trying to shoot him, but they're running low on ammo, and obviously it's not very effective. The Terminator says, "Here, you drive, come on." And then hops out of the window, takes the shotgun, fucking shoots the fucking arm off of him that's holding onto him, and then blasts him again in the fucking chest, and that's enough for the T-1000 to roll off the back of the fucking police cruiser. John then goes and looks out the back window, grabs the little piece of metal that's still left behind, and then throws it off the back. And then you see the T-1000 walk up to that piece of metal as it fucking, like, joins back into his foot.
Now, you didn't see
You
didn't see the deleted scenes where John actually takes that piece of the Terminator and puts it in his pocket, whereas when the Terminator gets close to him again, it comes alive, and he's, like, wriggling in his pocket, going, but they decided it wasn't.
I swallow your soul.
It wasn't good for the whole of the movie. So, as that was going to be the pocket Terminator. So, gonna sell a lot of toys. The Terminator comes alive in your pockets. It'll be great for the kids.
John, you need to destroy that piece of the T-1000. He's like, no, Mom. I love him like I love my other Terminator.
But he's evil.
He's not. He's evil when he's with you.
Whenever he gets around the real Terminator, that little piece tries to grab your dick and try to destroy your balls.
I like when it touches my pee-pee, Mom. So Sarah scolds John for trying to save her, even though it was a successful mission, and stresses how important John is in comparison to her. The T-1000 gets a police bike, and the good guys go to a storage locker to lay low and stitch up for the night.
Are we just going to pass this most important scene?
No.
I see that your tear ducts are leaking.
Yes.
There must be something wrong with you as a human being.
What's happening with your eyes? Come on.
When John really wants to say, I wish my mom was dead now. Fucking bitch.
My mom's always busting my balls ever since she got out of the crazy bin that I busted her out of.
I wish Jeanette Goldstein was my mom and we could go fight aliens together.
They talk to the Terminator while they're all stitching up and pulling bullets out of each other, and says, hey, is there a way that you can learn new stuff other than the stuff you just programmed with? He's like, no, I'm programmed in a certain way that I can't learn new things. They don't want you to have that much control. So in this deleted scene, which I've included in this recap, the Terminator tells him how to basically reprogram him so he can learn new things. And a scene that definitely didn't belong in the movie and was rightfully cut, they open up the Terminator's head, pull out the CPU. Sarah threatens to fucking destroy it with a hammer, and she's like, no, Mom, come on, I'm cool Ed Furlong, you can't do this. And ultimately she's able, Eddie is able to put it back into the Terminator's skull. He's like, did I miss anything? And he's like, oh, everything's fine.
Which, we almost killed you.
They don't show how he fixes this complex processor that current technology can't even reproduce right now. What did he do? Would he blow on it and just put it in the other way? It doesn't make any sense.
To reprogram it, you literally turn it 90 degrees. And that changes the entire programming. So.
Don't turn it to full 180. That puts me back into kill mode for you. That would be very bad for all parties involved.
Now, of course, another deleted scene that they didn't show in this is as soon as they change his microprocessor, they decide that now he can learn things, and they decide to do an episode of Jeopardy so they can win more money. Okay, on this week's Jeopardy, we have Uncle Bob. Yes, I will win every question because I know everything about the future and the past.
Please, can I have African Americans in 2010? That's what I'm very strong on that subject.
It doesn't matter after 96 because everything in the world will be destroyed and nothing matters anymore. Okay, that's great, Uncle Bob. You want to do the double Jeopardy? I know everything. I bet everything on every question. You can't bet everything on every question. It's only the double Jeopardy.
I like that he can only answer. He only gets correct answers, but like now he's programmed racistly. So he like everything he like works the N-word into now. Like, what is the hit rap group? He's like,
is with attitude. Everybody knows that.
It's like, well, you could have just said NWA, but we accept that. He's like, what's another phrase for slow and or not smart?
Niggardly.
And he's like, okay, all right, you've somehow managed to sneak it in again.
We have another perfect episode with Uncle Bob, who has answered every single question and got the most amount of money every single episode that we can get on Jeopardy.
Okay.
Okay, Uncle Bob again. But we have a new guy who's called Special Bob Cop. I can also answer all the questions. Apparently, they have to hit their buttons within half of a millisecond of a millionth to make sure they get to answer each question.
So, anyway, he's still alive. They steal a station wagon the next morning and head south the next day. And during the ride, John, who is clearly a huge fucking nerd, tries to teach the Terminator how to be cool.
Affirmative.
No. You gotta listen to the way people talk. You don't say affirmative or some shit like that. You say, no problemo. And if someone comes off to you with an attitude, you say, eat me. And if you want to shine them on, it's hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, or later, dickwad. And if someone gets upset, you say, chill out. Or you could do combinations.
Chill out, dickwad.
That's great. See, you're getting it.
No problem.
And that's another lesson on being cool with Ed Furlong.
I prefer when people ask me if I have a dead cat in my room to just say, fuck you, asshole.
Yes.
That is my go-to. When it is actually my eyeball sitting in the sink that is making the horrible smell.
God, I mean, the only thing that we established is that this guy... All right, so John Connor is here, who, documented in the film, has a single friend, right? He has one friend that we know of who is gone now. Maybe not dead, but got easily mushed by Robert Patrick's T-1000. And he's sitting here giving an advanced piece of technology sage advice on how to be fucking cool. Get the fuck out of here. What are we doing here, James Cameron? What are we doing?
Dude, nothing's more cool than stealing credit card money out of ATMs.
I mean, that's pretty badass, but it's not. He's not fucking cool, is what I'm getting at. And he dresses like a Vietnam War veteran, and he's 12.
And his Honda XR80 going around town.
It is pretty
going
badass.
Through rivers. So,
John then stops at a gas station where he tries to teach the Terminator how to smile, and it's a goofy as fuck scene. I don't know how to explain it, but Arnold goofily smiling is 10 out of 10. Jeremy, have you seen the face swap of somebody who did that scene, but with Sylvester Stallone as the face?
No.
Somebody has done a video online. I'll see if I can find it and put on the Quality Time Facebook page, but they face swap Sylvester Stallone's face in it. It's somehow even scarier and creepier than Arnold doing the smile. Somehow.
Well, you know, Sylvester was pretty good in The Last Action Hero as T2. So
yeah. So they eventually go down to meet a guy and get a bunch of fucking guns. It's Enrique, who seems pretty chill. He's got a nice family. And it's a nice little scene. They get enough guns down there to take out a small army. Like, she wasn't just preparing for anything. Like, if they had this gun stockpile that Sarah Connor has in this movie, Red Dawn doesn't happen. Do you understand? Like, Patrick Swayze finds this fucking treasure trove cellar of guns that includes a grenade launcher, a minigun, a fucking AK-47s and M-16s up the ass. It's a pretty fun scene.
This guy is no more different than our uncles, you know, mm-hmm. either John or Ben. It's just They just have a little bit more expensive guns than usual. So,
and also, the Terminator gives her some information on how Skynet was born. That was a guy named Miles Dyson who worked for Cyberdyne and kind of plants that seed
he
in her head.
He also designed lots of vacuum cleaners and fans that were so highly advanced that it had to be from Terminator technology.
I like it. I like the idea that they're like, actually, we found this arm that was severed, and I thought, how can I make a $600 vacuum cleaner? The second I saw this, I was just like, how can I better the world? You know what? I'm going to make a fan without blades that barely blows air. Like, those are the things I'm going to do.
Obviously, that it was obviously a Terminator, because otherwise, who could make the most amazing vacuum ever? So,
mm-hmm. True story.
But there's plenty of GoBot fans out in GoBot vacuums these days, so.
So, there's lots more bonding during this part of the movie between John and the machine, and I have a little clip here.
Watching John with the machine, it was suddenly so clear. The Terminator would never stop. It would never leave him. And it would never hurt him. Never shout at him or get drunk and hit him or say it was too busy to spend time with him. It would always be there, and it would die to protect him. Of all the would-be fathers who came and went over the years, this thing, this machine, was the only one who measured up. In an insane world, it was the sanest choice.
So... next, we see that Sarah has a... I'm sorry, Jeremy, you had something.
I also realized that John was going to be gay and definitely, definitely have sex with this Terminator. And he would not stop until John cummed every time with the gay sex with the Terminator, who would also very well lubricate like a real man.
I order you to blow me. I'm like, okay.
I give you a good Terminator sex blowjob because I do whatever you tell me to.
It's what every boy and man would want in life, a computerized sex toy.
Come on, John. Come on, my mouth is all wet for you again. Let me put... Hey, do you want to titty fuck my pectoral muscles real quick? Because
Did you want me to sound like Cheryl Teagues this time or like Apollonia? Which voice do you want? Yes, John, I will do it for you.
Hearing Apollonia's voice coming out of Arnold's body is terrifying to me. God, that terrifies me. So next, Sarah has probably one of the best scenes of the movie, a dope-ass dream sequence of Judgment Day where the bomb goes off, except... this time, it's fucking 10 times more graphic than the one we had earlier in the film. She basically is at like a chain link fence and she's watching her younger self play with a child out at a playground when the fucking nuke goes off, immediately starts burning all the children to death. And then... the shockwave comes and blasts her skin off, leaving nothing but bones and a screaming skeleton fucking burning. I don't know how to explain the scene. Oh, this is fucking badass. It's fucking badass.
I just think it goes to show that nuclear bombs are awesome.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know, we should use those fuckers like every other year.
By the way, last time I checked when a nuclear bomb was dropped, we got Sony PlayStation. Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Jeremy?
And made one of the best allies ever since. You know, the more... I think when people get nuked, they truly, truly... They learn to appreciate life a lot better.
I mean, if you told me that I could go back... if I had Terminator technology and I could go back and stop Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but the caveat to that is like, okay, yeah, you save like a million lives, but at the same time, I don't get God of War 4. I don't go back. You understand? Like, I don't stop that because of that.
You go back to modern day and it's like, well, where's my Sony stereo? Sony? What is that? We don't know what Sony... No!
And you walk around and everything is Zune. Where you're like, you have nothing but Zunes everywhere. Yeah, I wouldn't want that.
So the only thing I pick up from watching this movie is that nuclear things, nuclear explosions are awesome, and nuke now should be the new theme of things. Because, oh, by the way, on a serious note, I got like a little bit more information on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that for the people that weren't vaporized instantly, there were some people that got the half burn tan that literally half of their body was cooked like a fucking app, like a freaking barbecue.
Yeah.
And the other half was normal. Oh my gosh, what a living fucking hell those people lived with their last weeks of their life.
God.
Man. So. And also horses also got half burned as well. So
that's awesome.
Well, you figure out, you know, once that sucker goes off, it probably could cook you within like 2-3 seconds.
Yeah,
because of all that. So either way, you're a goner. You're as bad as John Cusack in the Philadelphia experiment.
Listen, Jeremy, I'm going to say something. I don't really care what any of our listeners think. I think nuclear bombs are bad and dangerous. Okay. I'll just throw that out there. All right. So Sarah then wakes up, and we get to see what she was carving on the table before she fell asleep. And it says the words "no fate" carved into the table. So Sarah wakes up and then leaves John and the machine and heads off to kill Dyson. John figures out that she's going to kill Dyson after a brief scene by, like, doing some just basic connections. Like, oh, no fate. This means that. Oh, we got to go stop her from killing Dyson. So Sarah then is outside of Dyson's house and takes aim with the rifle, puts a big-ass silencer on this fucking M16, and basically starts lighting up his house with bullets. She comes in with a handgun and ends up finally shooting him through the shoulder. He's on the ground, but Dyson's kid comes over and covers him and says, "Don't kill my daddy." And she just doesn't have the heart to do it. She just can't murder this man in front of his family. Just in the nick of time after that, as the very unstable Sarah Connor is freaking out, the Terminator and John bust in. They immediately say, "This is Dyson," and they say, "Okay, show him." And what is probably, I think, another badass scene is where the Terminator fucking cuts his own arm off, like, does it fucking, takes a knife down the long road of his arm, and then basically ungloves his entire skin to just show the exoskeleton hand, which looks pretty badass. Yeah, pretty cool scene. And then they sit down at the dinner table, and Dyson gets the skinny on the situation.
Now listen to me very carefully. Nuclear wind effects cause massive cooling.
Dyson listened while the Terminator laid it all down. Skynet, Judgment Day, the history of things to come. It's not every day that you find out you're responsible for 3 billion deaths. He took it pretty well.
I feel like I'm gonna throw up.
I think it would have been so much better with just scene after scene of Miles Dyson vomiting. you think you're okay? Oh, one more. the brother from another planet. He handled it well. So
he quickly comes to the conclusion that they need to destroy everything at Cybertime, the CPU, the arm, all of it. So they head with Dyson to the lab. They infiltrate pretty easily, subduing the guard at the front desk, but shortly after, the other guard finds him tied up in the bathroom and hits the silent alarm. And now the place is on complete lockdown, so the Terminator decides to start using his own keys to get through some doors.
It's no good.
Let me try mine.
Just uses the grenade launcher to make his own door. Now the real alarms are going off, and there's a bunch of fucking smoke going in there.
Then all the people are dead in the room. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have used these explosives with all the people close.
Sorry about killing all of you. I apologize.
It's so ironic.
I didn't know they were back there. John, damn it. Come on. That doesn't count against me.
So he goes and grabs some gas masks for him to get through all the chemicals that are blowing in there to put out the fire. Meanwhile, all the cops are heading to the building now, including the T-1000. They rig the place to blow as they're destroying computers and servers left and right. The Terminator goes to handle the police outside with a fucking MIDI gun. He just basically stands out of the fucking window and just starts cutting cars in half. Then he brings out the grenade launcher and blows up a couple of cars. It's just general carnage immediately. John and Dyson then use the two keys that John has broken one out of the vault with his fucking high-tech Atari computer, and they get the processor and the arm, and we hear John say this.
We got Skynet by the balls now, don't we? Come on, let's book.
And that's another lesson on being cool with Ed Furlong. So the cops then storm the building lobby. They get up there to the floor where they're all destroying everything, and Miles gets taken down by a hail of gunfire, because if you're a black man and there's that many cops, you're as good as dead. Miles gets riddled.
Black lives matter, but not in a Terminator film.
Not in real life or this Terminator film. They're like, oh my God, there's a guy with a minigun. Shoot that black guy! Shoot that unarmed black guy, quickly!
You know, I want to say I really feel sorry for Miles Dyson, but really, even though he was black and everything, he did kind of destroy the entire world, so he kind of deserved it, so...
Okay, respect. Yeah. Respect.
Yeah.
So he's still alive, but he's barely holding on, and he has the detonator in his hand. He kind of signals Sarah to just go. Sarah leaves him, knowing that he will do the right thing. Sarah gets pinned down, but the Terminator breaks a wall to go rescue her and pull her into the next room. And just as... The doors open for them. They go to head down the elevator. The cops roll up on Miles as he's breathing his last breaths.
It's no good. I don't know how much longer I can hold this.
Blows that entire floor of the building. The lights flicker inside of the elevator as they're going down. And so far, Cyberdyne 0, Miles 1. Now,
oh, okay. I forgot some trivia during this. Okay, one of the kids that was killed on the playground during the nuclear holocaust scene was actually... Linda Hamilton's 20-month-old son, Dalton, killed at the playground. So.
Dalton Hamilton. Look at that.
20-month-old. So I guess that's what, two and a half years old?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. 20, no. 12,
no, 2
24
years.
24 is 2 years. So a year
less
and a half.
Less than a year. Okay.
So he's probably walking. Yeah.
And also, take a guess who was almost going to play the T-1000 in this movie.
Keanu Reeves.
That would have been great. I think he was still too young for that, but...
Russell Crowe.
You would never guess in a million
Kevin
years.
Kevin Spacey.
Million, billion years.
The guy who was in Speed 2, Cruise Control.
I'll give you a hint. He's a he's a musician.
James Hetfield. As the T-1000.
That's right. Dave Mustaine. No.
Dave Mustaine.
Billy Idol, supposedly going to play the T-1000. Not a bad choice, even though he's got the British accent, but apparently because he had a motorcycle accident, he also couldn't play in the Doors as the Jim Morrison.
Oh, so, cool.
Because hence the next scene is probably the most motorcycle riding with... with Patrick. So
with a rebel yell, we kill John.
Now when I think about it, I think of Patrick doing such a better job than Billy Idol would have done. So. Mm-hmm.
Not, hey, happy mistakes is what makes the world go round, Jeremy. So they get down to the ground floor, but there is a fucking legion of police down in the lobby, and they fire some tear gas. John and Sarah start sharing a gas mask when Arnold lets out another one of his catchphrases.
Stay here. I'll be back.
Ooh. And he walks down the hallway into a hail of gunfire. He starts kneecapping everyone he walks past, and then eventually gets like a tear gas gun, and then just starts shoots one guy like point blank in the back, just like with the tear gas. Looks like it hurts pretty fucking bad. He then goes and litters the whole parking lot with tear gas, commandeers a truck, drives it through the front, and picks up John and Sarah and drives off. Now, meanwhile, while this is all going down, the T-1000 is driving a police bike through the building, up steps, like he's like a parquet walker, going all through the goddamn place. He sees that they're leaving and decides to take the bike and jump it through a window into a police chopper, then fucking morph his way as liquid metal through the fucking hole that he's left in the windshield. And then he looks at the guy who's flying the plane, the helicopter, and says, "Get out." And the guy looks at him, he's like, "Okay." And he immediately just jumps out like 50 stories to his death.
The guy is like liquid metal. It's like a big blob inside of his cabin and everything. You realize that him going up those stairs with an actual police bike are absolutely impossible, and they obviously made up a dirt bike to look like a police bike during those scenes. It's kind of obvious.
Yeah,
if you're
badass
into bikes and that sort of thing, it makes you laugh.
So now we have a SWAT truck and helicopter chase. The chopper pulls some cool stunts. It goes underneath bridges to follow them, which is highly dangerous and pretty badass. Sarah covers the doors with bulletproof vests and also puts like a blanket of bulletproof vests over John. Sarah catches a bullet in the leg during this. They slam on the brakes, though, at one point. The chopper crashes into the back of it. The truck overturns. The T-1000 gets out and then picks up an 18-wheeler filled with liquid nitrogen, conveniently written on the side so all the viewers know, and starts chasing them. Our heroes pick up a real shitty, like, Toyota Tercel pickup truck that has, like, a fruit stand in the back that can only go 60 miles per hour. Arnold hits the truck. They eventually crash into a metal refinery plant, which is very convenient for this. But the 18-wheeler cracks open during the crash, and the T-1000 slowly gets frozen in his fucking tracks. And just basically, it's a pretty cool effect as he's like walking and like his legs are crumbling, like brittle glass underneath him. And Arnold then takes aim with the 9mm of a completely frozen T-1000 and drops this.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And shatters him into a million silver dollar pieces all over the floor. Pretty badass special
effect. Quick, get him into the cooler!
And by the way, a practical effect that looked really fucking awesome, you know? I liked it.
I feel so sorry for the Terminator. He can't use his arm because it's so frozen it breaks off.
Mm-hmm.
He has to look at his broken off arm. You know, I kind of feel sorry for the Terminator, even though he's trying to murder everybody. He's still got his human side, you know?
So you think you've won the day, but all of a sudden, because they're in a hot melting smelting plant, the hot molten metal starts to slowly melt down the T-1000, and the T-1000 starts to come back together and reforms more quickly than something actually should melt in that situation. But after he reforms, you can see he's not 100%. He's touching stuff, and it's like he's kind of having like a chameleon effect. He's like becoming things that he touches constantly. He sends John and Sarah, the Terminator sends John and Sarah off, and he goes to fight the T-1000. Termi gets fucking worked, though, by the 1000, and he gets pinned underneath a giant gear, like his arm stuck in a giant gear, rendering him pretty much helpless. I do remember seeing interviews about this scene where they were doing this fight scene of like slamming each other around real hard, and he was just like... Like Arnold would comment, he's like, "Come on, Robert, it really hurts me. I mean, I'm a big guy, but God damn it, come on." So, like, apparently Robert Patrick was really roughing up Arnold during some of these shots.
He was like a little kid coming up from behind him and jump kicking him into his back. Thinking,
I just imagine they say, "What are you doing with all those muscles, pussy?" I'm saying, you know what I mean? Like,
by the way, I was really upset about that little punk kid that came to jump kick Arnold Schwarzenegger in the back until number one, he didn't go down. Mm-hmm. And number two, he was like, "At least he didn't mess with my Instagram." Like, oh my gosh. Arnie, you are such a fucking man, you know?
You know, I read the backstory. You know why that kid did that? I guess, like, one of his...
Because he was a dick?
No, apparently, if you listen to what he, like, yells out after that, he wanted to go viral because his mom is dying of some, like, horrible disease and he doesn't have money to pay for it. So he wanted to go viral by jump-kicking.
I need money for a Lamborghini.
Well, no, his mom is dying of cancer. If your mom was dying of cancer, would you drop kick somebody, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for it? It's not a great plan, but
if you
want to
be in jail while your mom dies, maybe that'd be a great plan. You know, be a total asshole, and we won't have sorry for your dying mom, and hope that she does die now, because you're a fucking asshole.
I mean, it's a dick move.
I could understand if it was Michael Moore, then I'd feel great for the guy.
At least I feel like it was coming from a place of where he was trying to do the right thing. It was the wrong way about going about it, but I felt like it was wrong.
I mean, trying to drop kick a 71-year-old man in the back, I mean,
I would just do it, and I don't even want money. I just want to do it. Like, if I was the guy that drop-kicked fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's a good-ass story.
It's a
Our podcast numbers will go through the roof. Are you kidding me? You're going to drop-kick him, too.
I'm going to find out which celebrity that I can go fuck up just for advertising of the podcast, so...
Thank you. Finally, we agree on something.
I want to be as famous as Sirhan Sirhan. So.
Arnold then breaks off his fucking arm so he can go chase the T-1000. Sarah sends John down a fucking mine cart at one point to get him away from the T-1000. Old 1000 pins her to a wall and sticks a fucking knife finger through her shoulder and asks her to call for John.
Call to John.
No.
I know this hurts. Call John. Call to John now.
When the people you love come through loud and clear, that's AT&T.
Call to John.
Okay.
Call to John.
Very good. Very good, yes. Sound effect. So the second he does that, though, right when Sarah Connor is about to bite the bullet, our hero comes up, the Terminator, and fucking takes a digging bar and fucking splits him in half, which is another pretty cool, looks like a pretty practical effect. He takes that steel beam, though, out of him immediately, and then immediately beats the shit out of the Terminator, which culminates in him taking that same bar and then spiking him through the ground and destroying his power cell, and what appears at the time of killing our hero, the Terminator.
Can I say how great it must be to a Foley artist when you take a digger bar out of your side and it goes like this?
So, but our machine hero is not, in fact, done. He wakes back up and pulls the spike all the way through him underneath the floor and grabs the grenade launcher and keeps going.
Did you notice the important part about that scene? is that he actually stabs him through with the blunt edge of the digger bar. Mm-hmm. So it's like not the spiky end, the hard end.
Hell
so.
Yeah. So John can hear his mom calling for him, but quickly finds out that it is in fact the T-1000. His real mom comes over and then bucks like 7 rounds into the T-1000, who is now by that final blow like teetering on the edge, about to fall into this melting lava pit below. But she runs out of bullets. But luckily, our friend the Terminator is riding a giant gear up to the fucking top floor, takes aim with his last shell from the grenade launcher, and hurls it right into his chest. And it blasts him up into fucking smithereens as this weird deformed thing tumbles into the molten metal below, doing a lot of bad CGI effects the entire time. Not good CGI effects here. And our antagonist has now been destroyed, Jeremy. They did it. All they needed was hot lava.
And more than anything is Linda Hamilton's voice when she calls after her, and she goes, John! And like you said before, they cut out all the scenes with the build-up to show that obviously she's the Terminator because her feet form into the grating, which makes it obvious, and there's no suspense that you can guess whether it's the Terminator. Like, oh, it's my mom! Except for her freakish feet that are like a Terminator and everything.
Mom? Why do your feet look like waffles? I don't understand.
Can we also talk about Lyndall Hamilton's twin sister that was used on set as the Terminator and herself?
Yes, Jindal Hamilton. She was actually Indian.
She does have a twin sister, and it'd be kind of cool to meet her as well.
Hello, I am Jindal Hamilton. I'm actually the twin sister of...
She looks exactly like Linda Hamilton, except for a big mustache. So
we must respect everyone here, and thank you very much. I am, again, Jindal Hamilton. I am the Indian twin sister of one Linda Hamilton.
So, of course, when they don't want to do a certain role, they just switch off as twin sisters to have one do the role and the other one not do the role.
No, that makes sense.
And apparently on the trivia also that James Cameron offered her another role in, I guess, Terminator 3. And after hearing it, she's like, no thanks.
No, pass. Strong pass.
So only wait like another 30 years before she does Terminator with the next Chronicle. So
our heroes then chuck the CPU and the arm into the molten lava, destroying them, and it's time for the last piece of evidence to fix the future.
Here, I cannot self-terminate. You must lower me into the steel.
No. No.
I'm sorry, John.
You promised we were going to have sex.
Order you not to go. I order you not to go! I order you not to go!
I have to destroy the ring in Mordor.
Oh, you missed your favorite line.
I know now why you cry.
I know now, because I understand the machine.
It's something I can never do.
I can't blow you anymore, John. I have to go into this... I have to go into this hot tub that has orange lights underneath. Please lower this chain around me.
And so they lower the Terminator 2 into the molten lava, and he's super dead. But he gives a thumbs up as he goes down, like,
it's okay. All right.
And it's pretty sad.
And I think another deleted scene, which I think would have been good kept in, was the lava fight scene between both Terminators in the lava.
We're in lava now. It's so hot.
Nelly's Hot in Here is playing.
It's so hot in here.
Misa likes the Terminators.
Oh, I played this bummer Terminator music. This is the sad Terminator music as he's burning up. There is a brief epilogue, though, to the film, as our heroine, Sarah Connor, closes out this film.
The unknown future rolls toward us. I face it for the first time with a sense of hope. Because of a machine, a Terminator can learn the value of human life. Maybe we can too.
Maybe we can learn that socialism actually works.
And that brings us to an end of Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
I also have to talk about my other favorite scene about Jeanette Goldstein writhing about in the lava pit, almost semi-naked. So, good job, Jeanette Goldstein.
Yeah, shout out to Jeanette.
And also, you get Robert Patrick in the lava pit and one of the twins. So,
a lot of good lava pit scenes there. Yeah. A lot of good lava.
But nobody died like Gollum, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
He held onto the ring until the very end when he's become steamized. Well, atomized in a lava pit.
Well, the most important thing is that we've reached the end of this movie and you're now fully cool.
And that's another lesson on being cool with Ed Furlong.
There you go. I just wanted to give that sound bite.
Hell
it's,
yeah,
it's,
work
it's
it for
life.
All it's worth, baby.
Wanted to give it one last run.
What do you think, Wendy Townsend? Thanks for me being on the program. I'm Wendy Townsend.
And that's another lesson on
of Wendy Townsend and being cool.
And that's
basically she's just a little quieter than James Finn on this episode. So
that is true. Hey, it's me, Jeremy Woodworth, and I got psoriasis. I meant to pull up this.
And that's
one.
Another lesson.
Hey, I'm James Finn, and this is a song about fucking.
good times.
And that brings us to an end of Terminator 2. Great film overall. We get Titanic after this from James Cameron, and then nothing else good. So it's real.
You don't
really
even count Strange Days.
Strange Days was okay. That was a Cameron film. I didn't even know that. Now I want to revisit it. I want to revisit Strange Days.
I know every one of Cameron's films. So
what about
except for Piranha 2.
Piranha 2.
Yeah.
Interesting. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month. That's hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. Mike Quinlan and I have also started a new room in Ellicott City, Maryland. It's third Thursday of every month in Ellicott City at Siriana. You guys should check that out. The debut show happened. I'm sure it was already fucking great. So come out to July. Leave us a 5-star rating. It costs you nothing and it means the world to us. Jeremy, take us out.
I know now why you cry when you are raped.